Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Go with me in your Bibles, if you will. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning on a mother's faith. A mother's faith. Now, let me just tell you what happened to me Friday. Because I was out all day Thursday, I worked all day Friday, and was getting my message together for today. And man, it was pretty, you know, I did pretty good. I prepared a message and was ready to come and give the word. And I just kept reading it over and over. And after I prepared it, it just didn't do much for me. And some of you won't understand that, but it's okay. But I really felt like God was dealing with me to go a little different direction. So I prepared another one. So I'm ready for next year's Mother's Day already, because I got two of them done on Friday. So we'll see. In the book of 2 Kings, now I'm going to talk about, don't change it, Liz, but I'm going to talk about from verses 18 to 37, but I'm only going to read three verses for time's sake. So what we have here is, we have a woman, a Shunammite woman, who the prophet passed by her place occasionally and often. And she went to her husband and said, let's make for him a place that when he comes by, he can come in and rest and relax and retire here, and he can have a place to sleep. And so the husband said, okay, that's cool. And they made him a place. And then the prophet ask her, what do you want me to do for you? And she said, I don't need anything. He said, you want me to speak to the king, because I know him personally? And she's like, nah, that's all good. I don't need that. Says, what do you want? And she didn't want anything. But then the Holy Spirit told she didn't have a child. So he said, about this time in a year, you're going to have a child. And she said, you know, I'm putting it in Florida English, because here's what she said. She said, don't play with me. So she really wanted a child, but she couldn't have one. So she said, don't play. Don't play. I will go berserk on you. Don't play. And so he gave her one. And then he was out in the field with his dad, and he fell sick. And the dad did what any good dad will do. The boy is sick. Take him to his mama. Ain't that the truth? You know, our children get sick. We call mama. Mama. My children, 18, 23, they'll still call mama. Mama, I got this going on. What do I need to do? And mama go, well, you need to do this, that, and the other. Take this, and then, you know, take this, and then rest, and take that, and then take this, and take that. Okay. They'll call back like an hour later. It ain't working yet. Well, give it time. Amen. So anyway, took him to his mama, and the mama took him up and put him on the bed. And then she told her husband, I got to go see the prophet. And he said, why you got to go see the prophet? It's not the time to go see the prophet. She said, I'm going to go. And he said, okay. And then so she told a servant, they saddled her a donkey. And he said, she told him, make sure we get there. Don't worry about me and my comfort. Just get me there. And that's where we pick up. Verse 27. The Bible says, now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi, his servant, came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, don't play with me? Did I not say, don't deceive me? And then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Father, bless the reading of your word. May it bring comfort, strength, and encouragement into our lives in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now, after looking at the Bible at a couple of mothers who faced overwhelming odds, I've learned some things about the might and the majesty of a mama. That the mother in our text was a wealthy Shunammite woman who had been barren. And she was a host for the prophet Elisha, who routinely stayed, or Elijah, who routinely stayed at their house. And she told him, when he asked her, "Do you want anything?" She said, "No, I dwell among my own people." In other words, what more do I need? Everything's good. What more do I need? Her husband was a prosperous man who took good care of her, and she was happy, healthy, and wealthy. Amen. I like that. Happy, healthy, and wealthy. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm happy, I'm healthy, but Jesus make me wealthy. Come on, somebody. I like that combination, and I like it in that order. Well, I don't know. I might go healthy, happy, and then wealthy, but it don't rhyme. So anyway, unfortunately, though, a few years later, the boy was in the field with his father, came down with a fever, a severe headache. His father sent the boy home, and that's where he died, in his mother's arms. What more is to be said? What more could be done? Death is final, and its victory seemingly complete. But this was a mother whose faith was bigger than the apparent defeat. This was a mother that said, "I know what my eyes see, but I'm not going to receive what my eyes are transmitting, because I have already received what the word of the Lord said to me many years ago, that I was going to have a son, and my child is not going to leave this earth before completing what God said he's going to complete." Ah. Her love for her child was greater than the grasp of the grave. And with the might and the majesty seldom matched by anybody or anyone of that day, she arose with resolve and returned with a miracle. Let me share with you a few things that I've learned from this mother of faith. Number one is this: she would not concede defeat. She would not concede defeat. When everybody else has given up on Johnny, mama won't give up on Johnny. When everybody else has said he's a sociopath, mama will say, "No, he's just misunderstood." When nobody can get along with Johnny, mama will say, "They just don't understand Johnny." Come on, somebody. And when other people will give up on your children, a mama will not give up. The many mothers have faced those times when it looked like there was nothing that could be done. The child was determined to go its own way. The grasp of the world on his or her heart looked too strong to break. But the stronger the grasp of the world is the strength of the love of a mother. And if you will match your faith in God with your love for your children, it can bring a reward. It shall bring results. It might not do it tomorrow. It might not do it the next day. But you keep holding on to the hand of God. You keep praying. You keep believing. And God will come through for you. She would not concede defeat. And I say to you, mom, I say to you, dad, do not concede to defeat. When others have given up hope on your child, you hold on. When nothing more looks like it can be done except to throw in the towel to surrender, a mother's love holds on. A mother's love fights on and presses on and believes against all odds that her child can rise from the current circumstances and somebody and make something of themselves one day. The Shunammite woman could have simply buried her dead and gone on with her life. But a faith in God who gave her this child, she was able to rise and pursue her miracle. Now, she said, bless God, the Lord gave it to me. And I'm going to have to go back to the Lord and bring him in remembrance of his word. That's what the word of God says. Bring me in remembrance of my word. And when things go haywire in your life, bring him in remembrance of what the word of God says to you. Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God has said it, he shall bring it to pass. Can you say amen? Point number two is something else I learned. She was willing to put her faith to the test. She was willing to put her faith to the test. Hers was not just a faith that rested merely on the abstract. Hers was not a faith limited to possibility. But hers was a faith that was determined to make the impossible possible and turn hope into a reality. See, some of us hope, but it's different than hope than having faith. Having faith is knowing what God has said and standing on what God has said. And if you have, here comes the problem. Let me talk to you, especially those with young children. The Bible says if we raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, when they grow old, they will not, cannot depart from it. That just simply means they can't get away from it. So, you ask me, am I a proponent of keeping children in church? Absolutely. Well, I don't want to make them go to church because they might not like church if I make them go. Then don't make them go to school. Because if you make them go to school, they're going to hate college. But let me tell you why we do. We make them go to school because we know that without an education, they're not going to get a job. And if they don't ever get a job, means they're going to stay with us the rest of our life. And we don't want them to stay with us. We want them to love us, but we don't want them to stay with us the rest of our life. Right? And the same thing is with the house of God. You may, if you've been really, truly believed that the house of God is the best place for your children to get a foundation in God, a faith in God, and a hope in God, you would bring them kicking and screaming. But here's the deal. See, I'm a drug addict. I'm a product of drug addict. What do you mean? My mama drugged me to church. I was drugged to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Did I like it? Nope. Did I hate it? Yep. But Pastor, why? Because it was in me and I can't get away from it. And every bar I went in, every drug I did, every relationship I was in, I knew that's not where I was supposed to be. Why? Because I had been raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I can remember coming home early in the mornings at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, walking in and hearing my mama praying. My mama would be in her room. Lord, save Ronnie. Lord, whatever it takes, save him. And I'd go, Mom, don't pray like that. Well, what do you mean, baby? So don't pray whatever it takes. Yeah, cause I know whatever it takes might mean something awful for me. She said, I know, baby, and I'm sorry. But Jesus, whatever it takes. It's like, you ain't right, mama. You ain't right. But let me tell you something. The prayers of mama, the prayers of daddy, the upbringing, you do not shy away from it. But now here's the key. All right, here we go. Now I'm about to get in your bathroom, bump your neighbor, say, listen up. It's not enough just to tell them. You need to show them. See, I remember growing up that I didn't think nobody was saved but my mom and daddy. I knew the deacons wasn't saved. I hung out with their kids. I knew they wasn't saved. Come on, somebody. I thought, Brother John, the only ones that were saved was my mom and daddy. But that goes to show you then it doesn't matter what your children think of me. It's a matter of what they think of you. It's not a matter if I'm a good pastor. Are you a good example? Are you a good Christian? And don't do as I say. Do as I do. Woo! Hang on. Preach! I believe I will. Hallelujah. Now, she got up. She got ready. And she got busy getting her miracle. That'll preach right there. She got up. She got ready and she got busy getting her miracle. She was willing to do more than talk about what she believed. She was willing to put her faith to the test, to put the rubber on the road and ride off what she saw by faith. She was going to ride on what she saw in the spirit and not just what she saw with her eyes. She didn't waste any time wrestling with her doubts. Or complaining about her loss. Or trying to find someone to blame. Woo! That someone to blame drives me nuts. Well, I tell you right now. I tell you the problem with my children is when they took prayer out of school. That's what happened. Last time I checked, they didn't take prayer out of the home. And let me just help some of you. As long as there are tests in school, there will be prayer in school. Cause that's somebody praying in school. Hey, listen, this past national day of prayer, you ought to seen the, did y'all see the post in the middle school? How many middle schoolers came to the poll and prayed for the first priority with Pastor John? Listen, I want you to know that that you gotta quit blaming everything on everybody else and begin to look inside yourself and look at your own home and look at the way that you live in front of them. She didn't have time for any of that. She told her husband, send me, I pray you. One of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. Her husband wasn't catching on yet. He had apparently already conceded defeat. And he didn't understand why his wife wanted to go to the prophet. Why are you going? It's not the time of the month or the week to go to church. She said, it'll be all right. There have been those around you who have given up on your child. Teachers, social workers, law enforcement officers, but you haven't given up. A mother's love holds out hope against hope. Listen, you know, now it's going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn. I'm just telling you what God did. I walked into I missed my 10-year high school reunion. I missed my 20-year high school reunion, but my 25th high school reunion I went to. I think it was 25. It was either 20 or 25. Man, when I walked in there, I'll never forget Miss Williams. Miss Williams was the second hardest teacher in the high school. A light-skinned black woman. And she didn't play. She quit kindergarten because they had recess. She did not play. And she was tough, and she was tough on me. And I walked in, and she said, Reed? I said, yes, ma'am. How you doing, Miss Williams? She said, Lord, boy, look at you. I was dressed in a suit. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, it's good to see you again. She said, tell me, Reed, what you doing? I said, well, I pastor a church in Crystal River, Florida. She said, you do what? I said, I pastor a church in Crystal River, Florida. She said, a regular church? I said, yes, ma'am, a regular church. She said, whoo, look what the Lord has done. I said, thank you, Miss Williams. Thank you, Miss Williams. See, some folks will give up on you. Some folks will give up on you, but mama, hold on to your faith. She walked and talked by faith. Point number three. She walked and talked by faith. When she got to the prophet, she didn't waste time with small talk. How you doing? No. Mm-mm. She didn't get distracted from her mission. Elisha saw her from a distance and sent his servant Gehazi to go and ask her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband, and is it well with your child? And here's what she said. The servant said, is it well? She said, it's all right. And then is it well with your husband? She said, it's all right. How about the child? Is it well? She said, it is well. Why? Because she wasn't going to waste time with somebody who didn't have the power to fix it. I just said that. I did. She wasn't going to waste time with people who couldn't fix what she was going through. Right? You know, don't point at nobody, but how many people do you know always talking to people about a problem they have no power to fix? You talk to your girlfriend about your husband. Your girlfriend can't fix your husband. You talk to his friends about him. You talk to his mama about, listen, let me just help some of y'all. Don't talk to a man's mama about her boy. She ain't hearing none of that. She's hearing it, but she's just thinking, you old thing, you. Problem with my boy is you. That's what the problem is. If you treat him the way he, y'all know I'm telling the truth, right? She said, I ain't gonna mess with little Gehazi. That's not where the promise came from. I'm not gonna mess with Gehazi. He is not the one that spoke the word of God. He ain't the prophet. I'm going to talk to the originator of the promise. My God, somebody hear me. You need to talk to the originator of your promise. Not the pastor, not the Sunday school teacher. I'm not saying that's not bad to talk to somebody, but I'm just saying she ain't going to play with it. She said, no, I'm not going to talk. Everything's well. I'm going to take it straight to the horse's mouth. But faith looked farther into the future and saw victory where defeat once stood. She answered by faith as though everything had already been fine. She said, everything is fine. Now, that's not an unhealthy case of denial. No, she just refused to believe that their child was a problem. But denial is not the same thing as faith. Denial is a dam that holds back the river of faith that will not release your miracle. You have to admit that you're sick before you ever have faith that will release the miracle, right? Some folks go, no, I don't have a problem. No, you need to go, there's a problem, but I know a God who can fix this problem. And his name is Yahshua HaMashiach. Come on, somebody. You have to admit it. You have to confront your crisis before you will ever see your solution. If your child has a problem, putting your head in the sand and denying it will not help anyone. But once you recognize the problem, you're in the position to put your faith to work and get to the one who has the ability to turn your faith into a reality. God. Last thing I learned is her faith prevailed where others had failed. Her faith prevailed where others had failed. This mother would not return without the prophet. Here's what she said. I'm not leaving unless you leave. You know, especially in modern Christianity. And I understand, I'm not bashing us, but you know, I remember a day. Some of y'all don't remember it, but I remember a day that we would tarry in the altars until we would pray until the release came. We would pray until we felt God give us the release. But now we take the Grecian formula, a little dab of do ya. Right? And we come up, Lord, I just thank you for that, and I just thank you that you're going to make it all right. Okay. I've seen folks close the door. I've seen folks, here, just lock up when you leave. Because they prayed, they tarried until. She said, I'm not leaving without you. How many times have I had people go, you know, Pastor, I go up to the altar and I just leave and I just don't feel anything. Then why do you leave? If you truly believe that the altar of God is where your answer is, then why do you leave? I'm going to tell you right now. If Josh has my answer, I'm going to be right here. Hey, listen, I don't mean to bother you, but I need that answer. Well, I'll give it to you later. No, no, no. We ain't talking about a candy bar. I need you. Right? That's why we ought to be with God. No, no, God, here I am. You know, and what we do, well, you know, I've been to the altar so many times, it just, nothing ever happens, so, you know, God will do it in His timing. No, no, no. The Bible said the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Man, we need to be there. God, here I am. Here I am. God, touch me. God, here I am. Lord, I'm bringing my situation to you one more time. God, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. You know, we need to be like old Jacob, that I'm not going to leave until you touch me. I'm going to wrestle with the Lord until I feel the touch of heaven. That's when I'm going to release you. And you need to be the same way with God. God, I'm holding on to the horns of the altar, and I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to give in until I feel the touch of heaven on my life. She was hanging on for her miracle with both hands. Maybe your problem in the church and our problem in the church world today is that we settle for second best. We let go too easily and simply console ourselves with the thought, well, I tried. Better than trying is travailing. Better than trying is travailing. Well, Pastor, have you ever travailed? Yeah, it's hard work, man. It's hard work. How many's ever cried till you can't cry no more? How many's ever you prayed until you don't even know what else to say anymore? Lord, I just, you know, but man, you just need to stay at the altar. Stay there till you get yours. Stay there till you get yours. And you would say, well, Pastor, I can't stay all night. Well, okay, then the next time you got the opportunity, get up to the altar and stay until you feel something. You don't quit coming. You keep coming until you feel the release of the Lord. Can you say amen? Travail is to stay until you get the answer. To travail is to go into labor with the pain of your potential miracle, ripping through your abdomen until you want to quit, until everything in you and around you says quit. But instead of quitting, you push through the pain barrier and give birth to the answer that you need. See, now mamas know what I'm talking about. You know, my wife and I, we had two children. It was painful. Labor pains are intense, they tell me. But now, mamas, don't be offended at anybody. But how many of you mamas was in the middle of labor and thinking, I don't want this? In the middle of labor, I'm done. I can't do this. You know, when they had to induce labor with our first child, and my wife was painting her nails. She couldn't reach her feet, so she had her sister paint her toenails. And she just got them painted in the nurses come in and said, we can't have that. We got to see your blood flow, and took them all off. So my wife, you know, she had her first contraction and she said, oh, this ain't so bad. 24 hours later, she didn't have no makeup on. She wasn't prim and proper. Matter of fact, she didn't understand I was trying to sleep because I was tired. I'd been up with her all night. And she'd go, I got a contraction. I'd say, just breathe through it. Just breathe through it. It's all right. It's all right. It's easy to say it when you ain't the one in pain. Right? I went through the courses. I taught her how to breathe. Come on, let's just breathe. Push, 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 push. But when you're in labor, you can't just quit. Why? Because if you don't go through with the process, then you're not going to get the birth of that which you're pregnant with. Oh, God. And if that which you're pregnant with doesn't come out, it can kill you. Oh, I can preach right there for a little while. Did you hear me? If that which you are pregnant with doesn't come out, it can kill you. Then what do? You go through the labor pains. You keep pressing in and pressing on. Like this mother did. It's not the fruit of a passing fancy. It's the faith of a woman who had put her life into relationship. You know, listen, if I needed something, you know, I know Brother Mike here, and there's a certain level of friendship. And there's a certain level that, you know, I know that if I wanted to come to him and ask him, I could ask him for something. But there's a level of friendship there. And we're friends, but we're not deep, close friends. Are you hearing me? Now, you know, John, I've known for 20 years. So there's another level that I could come to and ask. You understand? You know, Teresa, I can call her old and still live. And there ain't too many that could do that. Why? Because of our level of relationship. Maybe that's why we don't come to God. Because we're still dating God instead of being married to Him. Because there is nothing, my wife would be here in the second service, there's nothing that I couldn't go to my woman. My wife of 29 years, got married when I was 10, 29 years. And couldn't come to her and say, whatever. Whatever. Because there's a level of relationship. And my level of relationship with her is deeper than any other relationship that I have with anybody else other than Jesus. It's deeper than my relationship with my children. Why? Because we're married. And so this woman has the faith because she put the time in to know this man of God. Maybe the world's tried to tell you there's nothing more that can be done. But the faith of the mother in this story challenges all of us as parents to refuse to concede to defeat. Don't deny the problem. Confront the crisis at the cross and bring them to the throne of grace. Travail until you prevail. And give birth to the miracle of your child's life. Give birth to the miracle that God has placed inside of you. In the name of Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me this morning on this Mother's Day? God, I thank you for our mothers. Thank you, God, for it. Lord, I thank you for Gladys Reed this morning. A woman that didn't have much at all, but had faith in you. And has taught me through the years to have faith in you. And Lord, today as we gather and celebrate Mother's Day, I pray that we would take the faith of this Shunammite woman and apply it to our own lives, the lessons that we have gleaned from the story, that her faith prevailed where others failed, that she walked and talked by faith, that she was willing to put her faith to the test and she wouldn't concede defeat. Holy Spirit, there are people sitting in this place right now with dreams that have been in the birthing canal forever. way too long. With promises that have been dammed up for too long. I want you to think about those promises. Think about those dreams. And I want you just to present them once again to God. God, here it is. Whatever that is, you just present it to God. God, here it is. God, here it is. You may say, Pastor, my dream's real simple. I just want to be happy. Hey, that's cool. That's a great dream. That's a great dream. It's obtainable. Not just for others, it's obtainable for you. In the name of Jesus. Pastor, I want financial freedom. In the name of Jesus, it's obtainable. Pastor, I want my children to get saved. In the name of Jesus. What are you doing? Are you living it in front of them? Well, Pastor, now they're grown. Then go back and apologize. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me give you the opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. But you don't know Jesus, but you want to. Would you slip up your hand right now? And you can put it right back down. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.